360 The Quest. Your Atlantic Catholic Radio presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest, where we help you pass the test and be your best so you can stay blessed.
Oh, my, my.
Off the cuff, I'm Josh Harris, joined by Allison DeLuel.
Good morning.
And is someone else here?
Off the cuff and off your rocker.
There you go.
Morning, guys.
Well, you'll pay for that, Dave.
I'm in Buford. You can't do anything to me right now.
I keep a list, buddy. Well, so we don't make bad decisions and seek revenge, why don't we say a quick prayer to kick this thing off?
Sounds great. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, you are the source of all true joy. Amid the busyness and burdens of life, fill our hearts once again with the gladness that comes from you alone. Your word reminds us the joy of the Lord is your strength, Nehemiah 8, verse 10. Let that promise take root in us, lifting our hearts and renewing our spirits. May your Holy Spirit fill us with gratitude, peace, and laughter that reflect your presence. Help us to share that joy with others, to smile more freely, forgive more easily, and to live each day with hope. Lord, let your joy be our strength today and always. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Bring in some joy in the journey, right? Some prayers for increase of joy.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And, boy, it's been an exciting 24 hours. So the comedy show, Atlanta's Funniest Priest, funnypriest.com, did sell out as predicted. I mean, that was pretty quick. That was 1 week. But, we have a wait list, okay? And we are working on, you know, trying to get more seating available.
Mm-hmm.
Something may open up. So make sure to put your name on that wait list because we definitely want to make sure as many people as possible can attend this incredible event. Funnypriest.com. Pretty exciting,
also,
right?
Also, I want to...
Go ahead.
I want to mention, too, we don't thank them enough, but Catholics Adopt Project, Firepower, and also Monica Bosco Coaching for being our sponsor.
Yes, and you cut out for a second, so I'm going to repeat that, Dave. We are sponsored. This incredible event is sponsored by Atlanta's Funniest Priest, is sponsored by Catholics Adopt Project, Firepower Teams, and Monica Bosco Coaching. So, yeah, big shout out to them being awesome sponsors of this event. Make sure to put your name on the wait list, funnypriest.com, funnypriest.com. Again, currently sold out, but we are working on trying to accommodate as many people as possible, and some tickets may open up. So funnypriest.com, hit up that wait list because we are trying to laugh with as many people as possible. It's going to be off the charts. Again, one night only.
Mm-hmm.
Six beloved Atlanta priests step off the pulpit onto the stage to rock and roll as, yeah, comedians, right?
Original, all their own original stand-up comedy.
Original stand-up. And then we got Dave representing the dads. We got some fathers, and we got Dave's the DJ, dad jokester, right?
Yes. I'm the DJ for the evening.
Yes. Yeah, every evening needs some DJs. So, yep. Funnypriest.com, join that wait list because we really want to laugh with as many people as possible.
Just ahead on The Morning Quest.
Pause that for just a second, please.
Well,
you can do it. Right there.
I'm ready to move on. And you guys are like, nope, stop. Okay.
I definitely don't want to get into a shootout with you, Allison. Gosh,
you
got that fast trigger finger.
I love it.
Good night.
Okay, Dave, what were you saying again?
You belong in a you belong with a Western with fingers like that.
I wanted to get in a real quick mention about our pledge drive.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Happened a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
We are just over $170,000 toward our goal of $200,000, but you can still help us narrow that gap by nearly $30,000. Go to the Atlanta, thequestatlanta.com or the Quest Atlanta app phone. And I also want to say congratulations to John and Katie Asip. They were the winners of that beautiful 8x10 museum quality Z-Clay of the Blessed Virgin Mary holding the baby Jesus.
Nice.
Done by local artist Sally Kazin.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Sally, for getting that. Congratulations to the ASIPs.
You're breaking up a little bit.
Now you can hit it.
Dave, I think you got a...
Thanks, Dave.
You got, like, Boost Mobile reception right now, bro. You got to put the tinfoil hat on your head. But I'll repeat that one more time. Congratulations to John and Katie Asip, winners of the beautiful painting done by local artist Sally Kazin. That's the Blessed Mother holding the baby Jesus. Really, really moving. Big, big winners. And, yeah, still can help us narrow the goal for our pledge drive. Just go to thequestatlanta.com or just, you know, email me and I'll give you my personal Venmo account and I'll make sure it gets to the Quest. You know, just send me $30,000. You might see me in a new Honda. But
okay, yeah. Now Allison. Okay.
I know, on that note.
Go.
Just ahead on the Morning Quest.
All right. Tom Studder, parishioner at St. John Newman in Littleburn, talks about the ministry, the mystery of our journey home. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Faustina. Our buddy Father Adam Lapp, Pastor Christ, our King and Savior, unpacks today's gospel reading. But next, Father Bird, Pastor Mary, our Queen, and Peace Tree Kerners starts his series on art and beauty in Catholicism. Boy, is it great.
Finding joy in the journey. This is the Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on your Atlanta Catholic Radio. AM 1160, The Quest.
It's 8:07.
Father Bird, Pastor at Mary, our Queen at Petrie Corners, is going to be continuing a series on art and beauty in Catholicism. And today we are going to be talking about Catholic art as a tradition. So welcome back, Father.
It's great to be with you both.
Yeah, I'm so excited, Father, because we know that beauty is such a tool for evangelization. I actually just had the privilege of going to the canonization of Carlo Acutis, as well as St. Pier Giorgio Frassati. And you just see, it's my first time in Rome, how art can truly evangelize. And on that note, what are we talking about today?
Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about Catholic art as a tradition.
Wow.
And it has a tradition, and we know that as Catholics, we can look at things and we can say, that's Catholic, that looks Catholic, This feels Catholic. And so it's an unwritten, nonverbal language that evolves over 2,000 years. And we see it in when we go to Rome, we see it in these beautiful frescoes and these beautiful mosaics. And, you know, this church doesn't necessarily look like that basilica, doesn't necessarily look like this monastery. And yet we collectively see them all as Catholic. And so that's a tradition that evolves and over time, and it transcends language, and it's part of our Catholic culture. We see it even starting in its most primal state in the catacombs there in Rome. You know, there are primitive drawings that were painted by candlelight, you know, by an oil lamp somewhere in the dark belly of the earth, and probably not meant to be seen by that many people.
But then it
also emerges on the ceiling of Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel. So it has a power, it has a message, and it has a tradition that conveys our Catholic culture, and it conveys meaning as well, right? It conveys, you know, when we see a statue of Our Lady, we recognize which saint that is. When we see a statue of Thérèse of Lisieux, or see a statue of Saint Martin, and we know who those are. Because there's a whole tradition that evolves out of that. And it's conveyed in different media. It's conveyed in, you know, textiles. It's conveyed in mosaics. It's conveyed in paintings. It's conveyed in icons, in sculpture. So that culture is really important. And we think sometimes of culture as something that is on top of, you know, how we live our lives. Mm-hmm. But I would suggest that it's more sort of foundational. And in the word culture itself is our word cult. It's how we worship. And the kind of worship that we do provides us with the culture of art that we have. Catholicism is the vehicle for conveying all of that. You know? And it just is such a powerful tradition.
Yeah.
And it's part of those transcendentals, right, that convey truth and beauty and goodness. And when we see unattractive art, when we see abstract art, when we see art that disquiets us, that's not necessarily conveying or revealing truth and goodness and beauty, but ultimately truth and goodness and beauty are all God. So when we have an art form that conveys those transcendentals, then we're seeing a glimpse, as it were, of the divine, of heaven, of the Lord. And wow. So that's our kind of point, I think, is, you know, we want art that points us to God. There's, I may have talked about it last week, there's the idea of being distracted back into the mystery. Mm. You know, when the homily's going long, if you look at a fresco on the wall, it pulls you back into the mystery. It pulls you back into, you know, our faith. And so art is meant to be, it encompasses us. It hopefully surrounds us, good art. And it can distract us, but it also pulls us back towards the divine.
That's so beautifully said. And one thing that just really hit me, Father, is you talked about the oldest painting. And then here we are, you know, how art has been this continuous thread through the faith. It's like the creativity, the eternal creativity of the Father is etched into all of us. We can't help but create, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And moreover, we want that. And it is not enough, in my opinion, to just reproduce, you know, masterpieces of the past.
Yeah.
Because your generation, my generation, our generation has a voice to add to this ongoing culture. And so new music, new art, these things are important. And so it's not just slavishly repeating and copying the past. It's also something living.
That is profound.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
And the fact too, the Father, that, you know, to really sit on this, I mean, you know, God's creativity is limitless. And to your point, I mean, we have millions and millions of pieces of art, from music to paintings, and it's still not enough.
You know what, Father, I was just going to say, Nielsen Carlin, you know, he's fulfilling a powerful role in the church as well.
He absolutely is. And so he's the artist who's working on our three murals here at Mary Our Queen, and one of them is already up. It's the Queen's mural, which looks like a reredos, and it's sort of, you know, if you look at it from a distance, it looks like it's made out of marble and it's three-dimensional.
Wow.
And there are niches, and then it are five
it's gorgeous.
Statues. Right. But now he's currently working on the two very large murals that will flank it. On the left will be the Annunciation, and on the right will be the Coronation of Our Lady. And, of course, our parish is Mary Our Queen. And so the readings for the feast day of the Coronation of the Queenship of Mary, the first reading, you know, the gospel reading, is the Annunciation. So we're going to have the Annunciation there. And that is the moment, really, when Our Lady is sort of destined to be queen, because she agrees to be the mother of the Messiah.
Mm.
And so it's going to be this 15-foot painting of Gabriel hovering over our
body. Oh, wow.
You know, this massive image. And then on the other side, Our Lady is in heaven, and she's kneeling before Christ, who hovers above her and brings down the 12 the stars of her crown. And so, again, the first of the mysteries of the Rosary is the Annunciation. The last of the 20 is the Coronation. And so we're going to kind of have Our Lady's Church, and with those two wonderful murals, I think it's just going to be a very, very powerful and beautiful place.
And you know what, Father? It already is, because your first mural, you have the Queen's mural. Can you kind of share those with us?
So we wanted to have a kind of royal parish, and it's Mary Our Queen. And on the top, there are three saints. There's Saint Clotilda, or Clotilde, and then she's of France. And then there's Saint Elizabeth of Hungary. And then there's Margaret of Scotland. And so those are our three saints who are queens. And on the bottom, flanking the tabernacle, are two Old Testament queens. On the left is the Queen of Sheba, and on the right is the Queen Esther. And so we have these queens that are pointing to Mary, that are reflecting Mary. And so the whole sanctuary, it's surrounding the tabernacle of Christ, but it has this deep theme of the queenship of Our Lady.
Wow.
Stunning.
I will say it is hauntingly beautiful. And I don't mean in a bad way, but when I see it, it just seeps into your soul. And even as beautiful as the liturgy was, Father, when I went to Mass at your parish, I just kept finding my eyes, you know, gravitating to these gorgeous pieces that were above the altar.
There's some playful elements to it as well. And you have to almost get right up on it to even see them. And even then you might miss them. For example, Clotilda is often shown with a church that she built in Paris, Saint-Denis. In our parish church, she holds not the parish church that she built in Paris, but our parish church. And so it's just kind of a sweet little joke, as it were, a kind of, you know, nod to our own local parish.
Oh, that's cool.
There are also seven birds that are depicted in the mural of the queens, and they are all birds that would be in Jerusalem.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
and
nice.
So they reflect the Psalms, where the Psalms talk about how we long to dwell like the birds who dwell in the temple, how we long to dwell with the Lord. And so those seven birds that are, you know, almost invisible unless you get up and really look for them, they kind of reflect that psalm. And so we have, you know, these playful elements in it that also they're layers of meaning, right? They're
yeah.
layers of meaning. It's not just, we don't do things always because it's pretty. We have a, like, for example, Nielsen is going to put in front of Our Lady at the Annunciation a basket with some clothing strips and that she's sewing, because there's the tradition that, not biblical tradition, but the tradition from St. James, that she had been someone who sewed things and created things for the temple.
Mm, wow.
And so, you know, there's these slight little things that we see that have meaning. And the colors of the fabric, you know, Our Lady is almost always depicted in blue. And that's because that was the most expensive paint.
Oh, wow.
For us, it's just, you know, it's the same amount of money to buy blue tube as a red tube, or centuries. If you painted something blue, it had to be very, very important.
Oh, wow.
And so Our Lady is almost always shown in blue. Oh,
thank you so much, Father Bird, Pastor Mary, our Queen, and Peachtree Corners, unpacking the significance of art and beauty in Catholicism. Looking forward to the next one.
Great.
Still to come on The Morning Quest.
Tom Studer, parishioner at St. John Newman in Littleburn, talks about the ministry, the mystery of our journey home. Remember our memory verse this week at Psalm 139, 13 through 14. You form my inmost being. You knit me in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my very self, you know. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Faustina, but next, we are unpacking the gospel. Yeah, pinch hitting today.
Well, Father Blatt, he's on a silent retreat, so we are taking it over today.
Yes.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. Back to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
It is 8:21, and it's time for your gospel reading.
Yeah, we're going to dive into the Word.
Yes, so I'm saying in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God, illuminate your word that it may take root and seed our hearts so we can best love you and others. In Jesus' name I pray, Mother Mary, pray for us. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This is a gospel. It's from the Gospel of Luke 11, 1 through 4. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us. And do not subject us to the final test. Amen. Gospel
Amen.
Of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow. Prayer begins with God's fatherhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
St. John Chrysostom said, he taught us to call God Father, not because he is creator only, but because he has made us worthy of adoption,
mm-hmm.
right? And the Catechism of the Catholic Church, 2780, says, calling God Father expresses a relationship of trust, humility, and boldness. You know, isn't that interesting? I feel like, I think sometimes we think when we pray, we got to be on our best behavior. But I think there is a freedom in expressing, you know, the deepest desires of your heart.
Oh, yeah.
But Jesus taught us, you know, the best way to do that. Talking about how Jesus teaches us to pray, we'll pivot to the Garden of Gethsemane. What does he say at the end of that? Can you take this cup from me, but thy will not mine be done?
Yeah.
That's the linchpin, I think. That is how to sign, seal, and deliver any prayer. And, you know, hallowed be your name. living in holiness is so important. You know, St. Augustine says, we do not make God holy, but we ask that his holiness may shine in us. And, you know, again, I'm going to pivot to the Catechism 2807. The term to hallow is recognize God as holy, to treat his name with reverence and our lives accordingly. Any thoughts, Allison?
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about, as you're going through the different parts of that prayer, how it could be some practical takeaways, you know, for us all. So when you think of our Father, hallowed be your name, you know, speak with awe. I mean, when you think about it, this is our Heavenly Father that we're talking to, right?
Well said.
Declare the kingdom. Ask that God's love reigns in families, workplaces, and society. You know, submit to God's will when we say, you know, let the day's plans be shaped by divine purpose. You know, ask for our daily bread. Pray for the food on your table and for the Eucharist that sustains the soul.
Yeah. A little thing about that, too, by the way, our daily bread.
Yeah.
I believe the Greek term for that is epiousios, which means super substantial bread.
Wow.
Right. What kind of bread is super substantial? The Eucharist.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, it's literally baked into the text. Daily bread, also literally bread for tomorrow, or super substantial bread. This is from reading this from my Catholic study Bible, Ignatius. It says, I'm going to read this cliff note here. Literally bread for tomorrow, or super substantial bread. It's food for the whole person. The body gives us daily necessities. And for the soul, he gives us the Eucharistic bread of life.
Amen to that one. Another takeaway, confess and forgive. Mention specific sins, then consciously release the people who have hurt you. Mm-hmm. That's important, right?
Yeah.
Many times people let us down, right? Seek protection, request strength to resist temptations that arise in the day. And then finally, finish with praise. Remember that the kingdom, power, and the glory already belong to God.
Mm-hmm.
So we just need to finish with praise and praise him throughout the day.
Absolutely. You know, there's this wonderful prayer card. I mean, I guess I don't have it on me, but it talks about right here, right? Forgive us our sins, for we forgive everyone debt to us. And a lot of times we need that divine assistance to go the extra mile and forgive somebody who's wronged us. This Carol, our station founder, gave me this wonderful prayer card. I believe it was authored by Father Jim Blunt, who co-hosts the show Heaven's Light, I think, on The Quest. And there are some really, it's this really beautiful template and prayer sequence to forgive somebody.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like one of the lines in there, I believe I'm getting, hopefully I'm getting this right. It's, you know, thank you, Jesus, for this wound, you know, from the other person, because it's by your wounds that we are healed.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
And, you know, asking, you know, uniting that suffering with the Lord, right? But it's incredible what he can do when we hand that over to him. But forgive us. Also, it's a kind of a scary thing, right? Like, forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us. Other translations say, as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's almost like, hey, there is a reciprocity that's happening here. There's a spiritual transaction. God's saying, I'm forgiving you, but I'm expecting you to forgive other people.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times we just want that forgiveness to, I mean, I want it maybe to be top down.
Yeah.
You know, not a lateral forgiveness, right? I'll take your forgiveness, God, but I'm going to hold on to this resentment. But like they say, that's like swallowing poison and expecting the other person to die.
And we don't want that to happen.
We don't want that to happen at all. So anyway, it's just a reminder. I'm going to close with one more quote. Daily bread. This is from St. Cyprian. The bread is Christ himself, for he is the bread of life. And St. Jerome said, super substantial bread, the Greek epiousios, the Eucharistic food for the soul. So I pray today that we thank God for his daily bread, his consistent nourishment, and the internal impression that leaves on our hearts and soul. Amen.
It is 8:27, and from the Catholic News Agency, Pope Leo XIV is heading abroad for the first international trip of his pontificate. The Vatican announced the Holy Father will visit Turkey and Lebanon from November 27th through December the 2nd. In Turkey, Pope Leo will join Orthodox Patriarch Bartholomew I for a pilgrimage to Nicaea, marking the 1,700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea, where the Nicene Creed was first proclaimed. He also spent time in Istanbul celebrating the Feast of St. Andrew with the Orthodox Church. The final leg takes him to Lebanon, where church leaders say his visit brings renewed hope and a prayer for peace and unity in a country facing deep challenges and hosting millions of refugees.
Later on the Morning Quest,
Tom Studer, parishioner at St. John Newman in Littleburn, talks about the ministry, the mystery of our journey home. But next, our buddy Chip Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Faustina.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey.
With Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
It's 8:32.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. So on October 5th, which this year fell on a Sunday, it's past Sunday, in fact, we celebrate the memorial of St. Faustina Kowalska. But feast days in the Catholic Church, which fall on a Sunday, are, of course, transferred. Sunday is the Lord's Day, so we revisit them next year when we know they won't fall on a Sunday. So those who have a devotion around St. Faustina can look forward to once again celebrating her liturgically on the 5th next year. But I thought we would have a look-back segment and discussion about her anyway, especially since she's just such a popular saint.
Yes,
and
she sure is.
And a modern-day saint, too.
Oh, absolutely.
St. Faustina is the patroness of divine mercy and the vehicle through which our Lord chose to bring this message of redemption, compassion, and mercy into the world. Divine Mercy Sunday is now celebrated liturgically every year on the Sunday after Easter, and I'd venture to say it's one of the most powerful days in the church. St. Maria Faustina Kowalska was born in the year 1905, once again, a modern-day saint, baptized with the name Helena. She was one of 10 children born to a devout peasant family, a farming family, actually, in Poland. She grew up during the tough years leading up to and following the First World War and received little formal education. She worked as a housekeeper before following her religious vocation at the age of 20, entering the congregation of the Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy in Krakow. There she was given simple, humble jobs, which really kind of hid her deep interior life. St. Faustina was graced with mystical visions throughout her life and revelations from Jesus himself, as well as her guardian angel and certain saints. Interestingly enough, we only celebrated the Memorial of the Guardian Angels just a few days ago, the 2nd of October. Jesus gave her the mission to proclaim his infinite, powerful, loving mercy to the whole world, especially to hardened sinners and those facing the hour of their death. St. Faustina, as Jesus is, and I quote, secretary and apostle of divine mercy, faithfully recorded these messages in great detail in her nearly now famous 700-page diary. In it, she promoted devotion to the divine mercy of Jesus Christ, as instructed by our Lord himself, now famous throughout the church and a great consolation for many souls who would otherwise fear to approach God because of their burden of sin. She died in the year 1938 at the age of 33, a young woman, as we know, from tuberculosis, the same affliction that claimed the life of St. Thérèse of Lisieux, another woman who we spoke of just a few days ago, back on the 1st of October. Pope St. John Paul II, now, of course, a saint in his own right, made St. Faustina the first saint of the new millennium. And once again, her feast day falls every year on October the 5th. So we certainly owe a great debt of gratitude to St. Faustina. I know many of our listeners tune into the station or, of course, stream it on the app. The Divine Mercy Chaplet is recited every day without fail.
Yes.
At 3 p.m. And I know I do that. I know at work I'll set my clock for like 2:56 p.m.
Yeah.
I'll be with my coworkers and they're like, here goes his clock again at 2:56. And that just gives me a few minutes to hopefully break away and pray it. And most days God clears the way. I mean, unless I'm on a conference call or I'm in the middle of something that I can't do it, maybe I'll break away and do it a little later. But I do like to do it at 3 o'clock. I think there's something to be said for doing it at the hour of our Lord's death.
Oh, yes. You know? Absolutely.
And I know our listeners are the same way. And I know here at the station, as a group, if we're in the middle of something, we will all retreat to that chapel and pray it together at 3 p.m. It's just that powerful of a devotion and one that's just gained such momentum over the years. And I'm glad about that. And of course, the aforementioned diary, 700 pages. And Allison, I know you have a number of quotes. I mean, the diary really defined her mission in this world, her evangelical work. And I think you've got a couple of quotes from that diary.
Yes, Chuck. Jesus said, souls that make an appeal to my mercy delight me. To such souls I grant even more graces than they ask. I cannot punish even the greatest sinner if he makes an appeal to my compassion. That's one of the messages in the diary that Jesus spoke to Saint Faustina. Another one. Jesus said, I am offering people a vessel with which they are to keep coming for grace to the fountain of mercy. That vessel is the image with the signature, Jesus, I trust in you. There's an image of divine mercy in our beautiful chapel here at the Quest.
Yes. Every home should have a divine mercy.
Yeah. And the image, it's actually Jesus appeared to St. Faustina.
Yes.
And pretty much asked her to have this painted.
That's right.
Image divine mercy. So yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful image.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the more popular images in our church. I would say it's up there with the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Yes.
And some of those others. But yeah, truly remarkable story. Movies have been made about St. Faustina.
Yeah.
It was a limited run about a couple of years ago now, come to think of it, but I saw it just down the road at Movie Tavern. It was an amazing story of her life. Just a truly great saint, and one who, you know, you got to love these Polish saints, right?
We've
Maximilian Kolbe. We've got
Faustina. The love, the sacrificial love they have for the Lord.
Yeah. John Paul II. It must have been such a thrill for him to be able to canonize his countrywoman.
Oh, yeah.
So do you have any other quotes from the
I do. Listen to this one. When I was in adoration, St. Faustina said, she heard these words, tell all people, my daughter, that I am love and mercy itself. When a soul approaches me with trust, I fill it with such an abundance of graces that it cannot contain them within itself, but radiates them to other souls. So again, Jesus is pretty much saying when you're in your adoration, he's filling her and then she's radiating it to other people. Yeah. We are all vessels that could be used in that beautiful way. And we're called to.
Yeah. You know, as you think about this and as I listen to these words, it dawns on me how difficult it must have been for St. Faustina to promulgate this message, because it seems too good to be true.
I know.
And were people really going to take this for what it's worth? Are they going to really understand? Because I don't think we can understand the depths of our Lord's mercy.
Yes.
We try to.
Yeah.
We can do little by little. It's revealed to us in our lives. But this is the type of mercy that, man can't give to another man.
Nope.
This is of the supernatural. It's the only kind of mercy that the mercy of this nature can only be supernatural.
Well, it is. And I think of reconciliation as well, right? When we stumble, when we fall, going to the sacraments,
absolutely,
going to reconciliation, because the mercy that flows in that alone, the sacrament of confession.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. On my way here to the station, I was listening to AM 1160, The Quest, and it was one of the guests was talking about G.K. Chesterton. And I remember, for our listeners who know who he is, one of our most prolific Catholic apologists of all time. And they asked him, why did you become Catholic? And he just said, I wanted to get rid of my sins.
Mm.
Very simple, straightforward answer.
Yeah.
And it's true. The sacrament of reconciliation, we were talking about it in our OCIA class this Sunday with the young men that I'm sponsoring.
Yeah.
It is a sacrament of healing for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these are all terms that are new to some of the folks coming into the church, but it is truly a sacrament of healing. I'm sponsoring a catechumen, and he said, you know, I'm going to go in there. And we were talking about this. Every sin that he's ever committed, that he's been carrying around with him his whole life, they're going to be washed away in that font on that night.
Yeah.
And that's just truly awesome.
All the bricks. I know I've seen pictures of, you know, somebody with a backpack and there are tons of rocks in there. It's like when you go to reconciliation, confession, oh my gosh, you feel free as a bird when you leave there.
Yeah. And Jesus wants to just pour out this ocean of mercy to us.
Yes.
If only we are wise enough to ask for it, humble enough to ask for it, and to understand how powerful it is. And again, to understand this type of mercy takes time.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen overnight, because, you know, as human beings, we're jaded.
Mm-hmm.
We're doubting Thomases in some respects.
Yes.
And it just takes time to just truly grasp the magnitude of this mercy.
Mm-hmm. And I like that you say humble. It really takes a lot of humility, because sometimes it's easy to hold on to something if we've done something wrong, feel the guilt. It's so easy to not want to share that and to not want to express it.
Yeah, it takes courage to
because it's embarrassing, right?
Yeah. And we try, you could also point out, we sometimes try and rationalize away our sins. And then when we get in front of the priest, it's hard to utter the words to another person.
Yeah.
Pride, shame. Pride.
Yes. So we need to put all that to the side.
Yeah.
And receive this amazing mercy, the fount of mercy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So St. Faustina Kowalska,
pray for us.
The Morning Quest keeps on rolling on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:41. We got some exciting news, don't we?
We sure do. Well, you know what? This, with October being the month of the Holy Rosary, I saw an amazing article on Church Pop called Every Hail Mary is a Blow Against Evil, The Power of the Daily Rosary.
Wow.
And I know it's super important. So, and a lot of people probably have one hanging on their car mirror or tucked away in a drawer somewhere, you know, the rosary. But let's take those rosaries out. Father Melson Correa from Colombia reminds us it's not just a decoration. It's a powerful spiritual weapon.
Yeah.
And he says the rosary is the most powerful spiritual weapon after the Holy Mass. Listen to that.
Wow. Yeah, there's a story that I love. Apparently, Mother Teresa was going through customs and they asked if she had any weapons to declare, and she pulled out a rosary.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
What a witness that is, you know? And it's so cool because truly, imagine this, not just beads and prayers, but a force that pushes back darkness in our lives and in the world. And you think about it, some simple rosary beads, but the power of it and the prayers, it's absolutely powerful. St. Padre Pio, powerful weapon against Satan is the rosary, right? So yeah, each Hail Mary matters. Father Melson says, each Hail Mary is like a drop of water that wears away sin. And I love that image because it's small and steady, faithful prayers that shape our souls and hearts over time. You know, when we pray the rosary, we're not just repeating words. And that's the key. Some people that might not be familiar with it, it just sounds like a bunch of repetition over and over. We are walking hand in hand with Mary through the life of Jesus.
Yeah, and it's got to be poignant when St. John Paul II claims the rosary is his favorite prayer, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
He said it's marvelous in its simplicity and depth.
Yeah. Well, and you think too, I mean, Mary, that's the mother of Jesus, right? Our Holy Mother. She teaches us how to love her son more deeply, how to trust more fully, and how to live with peace and faith in our busy, noisy world. So the Holy Rosary not only brings us closer to Mary, he says, it brings us closer to Jesus.
Amen.
So I just love it. So what are we going to do today?
Pray our rosaries.
Amen.
Call your mother.
Call your mother.
Coming up on The Morning Quest,
Tom Studer, parishioner at St. John Newman in Little Burn, talks about the ministry, the mystery of our journey home.
Hi, it's Teresa Tomeo. Coming up at 9 this morning on AM 1160 The Quest, I'm inviting you to join me for Catholic Connection. But right now, let's turn to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic radio station.
It is 8:47, and we're going to kick this interview off. But before we do, I just want to mention, if your parish or Catholic organization has an event coming up, get it on our calendar so everybody can know about it. Just go to thequestatlanta.com, click events, because we love promoting all the good stuff happening in our archdiocese.
No, absolutely. And I'm looking at the calendar now, and this Saturday, October 11th at 5 p.m., Floriani and the St. John Bosco Academy Savio Singers are going to be participating in Mass. So I know Floriani has been here many times to different parishes.
Where is this?
This is at St. Michael the Archangel Catholic Church. So that is on our Quest calendar. And if you're not familiar with Floriani, it's a men's vocal ensemble dedicated to serving the church and saving the culture through beauty and sacred music. And they sang at the 2024 National Eucharistic Congress and can be heard on the Hollow App as well. So
fantastic.
Big time stuff.
Wow, that's cool.
The Morning Quest with Josh and Allison.
I am so excited to announce and introduce Tom Studer, parishioner at St. John Newman in Little Burn, talking about the ministry, the mystery of our journey home. How are you, Tom?
Wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Well, we are so blessed to have you, that's for sure.
We are. And Tom, I was just scrolling through the wonderful website at St. John Newman, and you know, and I saw the mystery of our journey home, and I was so intrigued. So can you share how that came about?
Well, I listened to The Quest, and my favorite show is The Journey Home.
Yes.
I just love that show because I just, like an immigrant shows us that how great America is.
Yeah.
I think converts to the Catholic Church shows us how great our faith really
yes.
is. We as cradle Catholics, you know, sometimes forget, you know, take for granted what the greatness that we do have.
Mm-hmm.
So I just love that concept, but I wanted to bring it to the parish level.
Yeah.
That, you know, when you see somebody on the mystery on the journey home, you think, oh, he's somebody famous or something like that. But we have them right here.
Absolutely.
And their stories are so beautiful of how they became Catholic. You know, we had We've had great stories. We've had it, and part of it is not only the showing about the conversion, but also to introduce people to parishioners, mm-hmm. you know, to get people to know. When you know somebody, you have that closeness.
Yeah, the connection.
Know? Right, exactly right. So that's what I'm trying to do, too, is to introduce, like one of our shows, we had Father Sonny as the, he's not a convert, but again, kind of introduce him.
Yeah.
Can hear his story so that the parishioners can hear that Father Sonny's a saint, you know.
Aww.
But
yeah.
He's great. So everybody loves Father Sonny. So so again, it's partly that. It's partly, you know, also understanding that you can be going through the same things that other people are going through.
Mm-hmm.
We had a great show, our last show. A lady was despaired. She had gone through a divorce. She had gone through bad things at her work, and then she got Parkinson's, and she knew that she saw her aunt frozen with Parkinson's, you know, so she just thought, that's where I'm going to be. So she actually tried to kill herself. She took a bunch of pills. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
And so she said, thank God her daughter happened to come into her room and saved her.
Wow.
And she just thought the despair. And then she went to St. John Newman, and she saw Father Sonny, and she just loved Father Sonny. Like I said, he's a saint. He's our saint. So,
yeah.
But Father Sonny, but she was saying that he was holding up the Eucharist, the consecrated Eucharist, and the light hit it to her, not to everybody else, but to her, that it just knew right then and there it was the body of Christ.
Wow.
And what she had been missing, you know, for the last 15 years. So.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so it was a great story, you know, but people don't know because you just walk into the, you know, you walk into the pew, you walk into the, you know, you don't really get to know people. But when you, just like we are talking,
yes.
you get to know each other, you get to feel. And I really, that's part of it. Part of it, too, is that a website for a parish can be dry, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same, you know, what time the mass is and things like that. So we have to add something to it so you have a reason to go back to it. So that was a lot of it. But, you know, I couldn't do the show, by the way. I got to give a shout-out to my peeps.
I love it.
My Scott Sowers helps me with the show. He does, like, writing, and he gets the people together and talks to them. And then Clarence Huber, he films it, he edits it. So I couldn't do the show without them.
Yeah.
Like Scotty calls me, I'm just a talent. So
look at this. You're the talent, right? Everybody's doing all the background work.
Exactly.
Wow, that's so cool. And so, how has being part of this ministry changed you personally and strengthened your own faith journey?
Oh, it has strengthened my faith because, again, when I'm driving in, I'm listening to Josh and how his deep, you know, theological, and I'm not that way. I'm just a everyday Catholic, you know, so I say my rosaries, I go to Mass on Sunday, you know, go to confession, not as often as I should, but, but it strengthened my faith because, again, hearing stories of people like that and people that have come into the faith, it's really gets me to understand what a great faith we have.
Yes.
And it also makes me think about all my father and mom and my grandparents and all those generations kept that faith going for me, you know. So it's
a gift.
I feel so blessed in so many ways, and I think it's because of the great faith that my ancestors had, you know, and it just, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I have a wonderful wife, another shout out I got to give.
Yay, yay.
a wonderful wife. I have two beautiful daughters and now a grandson.
Oh,
so that's,
congratulations.
Wow.
That's a nice one. So,
yeah.
I've just been blessed in so many ways from God. And this show is just my way of giving back. Mm. Just kind of, okay, let's, you know, it's, you know, I still work. I still have to, you know, do the things.
It's,
but you take a little time out for something like this. It's just so fun. It's to me, what did I get out of it? I get way more out of it because I just have the fun of doing it.
Yes.
Like I said, I have a lot of ham in me, so that's a lot of it. So hence why I said yes to doing this show. So
and I'm grateful you did. Oh. You just said it happily. No, and I love, Tom, truly how you're talking about people sharing their journeys. You know, Cradle Catholic here, but again, I feel like I and many others might take our faith for granted. And again, you're saying your ancestors, that is seriously the greatest gift that we have, being born into the faith.
Exactly.
And it is. It's the greatest gift. Thank you, Mom and Dad. Hopefully they're awake and listening. My mom sometimes is like, I fall asleep. But you know what is amazing? And I know that some people even coming on the show to talk, they're nervous. But why is it so important for people to share their story, you know, and to understand it's for glorifying God, right?
Right. It's glorifying God, but it's also helping others.
Yes.
People have the, again, I told the story of the lady with despair.
Yeah.
There's other people out there with that despair, and they think they're the only ones.
Yes.
You know, but if you hear it, other people going through things like that or questioning your faith.
Yes.
We all have that. Oh, really? Come on. You know, some guy just popped, you know, made the whole world, you know, stuff, you know, but... But again, if you question your faith, but other people are going through those same
absolutely.
Questions. So same. And so it gives that relationship of, I'm not the only one out there. I'm not the only one, you know, that's going through difficult times or, you know, whether it be work, whether it be anything, you know, it gives that relationship back to each other, to help each other and that we're there for each other. So that's a lot of what it is. We all have those same struggles. You're not the only
correct.
One. Correct. Right.
No, absolutely. That's so correct.
Mm-hmm. But it's also helping people to know other parishioners.
Yes.
And they see,
community.
You know, now you see somebody at church. Oh, I heard you on the, you know, on the show. I love when somebody comes up to me and says, I saw you on the show. You know, make sure. Oh my gosh, they listened? You know, I am viral. I have 200 views, so I mean...
There you go.
I love it.
Hey, no, although it's easy to kind of downplay that, but at the same time, if you had an event and 200 people showed up, like, this is pretty good. You
that's
know,
a good event.
We diminish the importance of those 200 people.
Right.
If another parishioner or another parish is listening, wondering... If something like this could work in their community, what words of encouragement would you share with them?
Well, my words of encouragement would be that it's you have to make it fun.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find the other two guys. Again, I couldn't do it without Scott and Clarence. But again, it's fun. Make it fun, and then it just grows. And that's really what happens. So have fun with it. You don't have to be a deep theological, you know, you don't have to be Josh.
Yes.
You know.
We love Josh's, but you don't have to be Josh.
Right.
Just be yourself and share your journey.
Exactly. Exactly right. So.
Wow. Well, this has been great. Go ahead, Alison.
Yeah, where can people go to get more information and to learn about this beautiful ministry at St. John Newman?
They can go to St. John Newman's website, which is sjnlilburn.com.
Wonderful.
Yeah, they're wonderful. So, and by the way, we're having a parish, you talked about events. We're having a parish picnic the 18th. So please
awesome.
Come.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Tom Studer, sharing about this amazing ministry, the mystery of our journey home. Let's close this thing the holy way. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Amen.